Harry Houdini was actually sort of a hero of mine when I was a child. I was fascinated with magic and so on. And I actually saw, I don't know if you ever saw the movie.
The Tony Curtis movie?
Yes.
Absolutely. Loved it.
You loved it. Okay, well, I loved it too as a kid. Now, later, much later, I learned that Harry Houdini had a deep interest in this whole question of life after death. And he, along with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes mysteries, they developed a very special friendship. Now, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle became a spiritualist. He became convinced that the evidence was sufficiently strong that there was a greater spiritual reality. Harry Houdini really wanted to believe that there was a greater spiritual reality, but he was also aware that there were a lot of frauds, and there are frauds today.
And he was out to expose them.
And he was out to expose them, and he did.
Yeah.
And he revealed, a lot of these. But he was not just out to become famous for being a fraud detector. He was really searching to find someone who was genuine because he really wanted to believe that his mother's essence, her consciousness and energy, still existed. So, and they had this friendly debate about this, okay? Now, I learned about this as an adult.
And he was almost obsessed with it.
I would say he was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I think that's very well put. And I suspect he would agree with us. In fact, someday we're going to ask him. And I'm going to blame it on you. Say, hey, George mentioned this on the radio. He brought up the connection. Can you give us an answer? So anyway, now let's go to the present.
And he'll say, they still have radios in the world?
That's very funny. Okay, so present day. A couple of years ago, here I am now, dealing with all this secret material, which is being revealed in the Sacred Promise for the first time. There's all this stuff going on, including celebrities getting to me via mediums. Now, by the way, just a sidebar here before we talk about Harry, is that it's difficult enough for most people, especially scientists, to imagine that our mothers or grandmothers or children who have gone before us, their consciousness is still here. But we find it even more difficult to imagine that somebody who's famous, be they quote distinguished, like an Einstein, or infamous like some other celebrities, that they're still here.
Right, right.
We find it even more difficult to imagine that light travels for millions or billions of years, and the reason why we can see stars at night is because that information travels and it doesn't lose its integrity in the vacuum of space, the quote vacuum of space. So millions or billions of years is nothing for a photon. Okay, now given that that's the case, the same thing should apply to our photons. So consequently, it shouldn't matter whether we're talking to somebody, let's say Einstein, or Isaac Newton, or Pythagoras. It doesn't matter who the person is. What's a couple of thousand years for a photon?
Nothing.
Nothing. So therefore, the notion that historic figures, not only could their consciousness exist, but that they could care enough about the continued evolution of humanity and this planet to have made a sacred commitment to continue to be of assistance. The fact that that could be the case, which it seems almost unimaginable to us, and it's such a beautiful thought, but it's plausible. Okay, so I had to become open to all of this. And I confess early on in the book, and we'll probably get to this, in that I start with the question of, if Einstein's mind still exists, how would he prove that he's still here? Put yourself in Einstein's shoes. And the reason is because multiple mediums for years have been telling me that Einstein was coming to them, that he had messages for humanity, and he had some specific messages for me. And I had a difficult enough time accepting that my adopted grandmother, Susie Smith, was coming through. But Einstein? He wants to talk to me? Anyway, Harry Houdini. So all of this is going on. And then synchronicities started happening related to Harry Houdini, and I began to wonder, is he here too? And so I then started doing some secret science, meaning I did it privately. I did it as a research, in a thorough research manner, but it was done, for example, in the privacy of our home. And what I did was with a senior colleague and also my beloved, Ron Eklund Schwartz, we actually had a research medium, for example, come to the house, and we did a what's called a single-blind experiment where we actually asked the deceased Susie Smith to bring some secret people to the reading. So the medium had to contact Susie, and Susie had to bring Harry.
Huh.
All right? And then what we did was we had the medium had to read Susie, and then Susie had to pass on this person, and then the medium had to connect with this person. And I'm not going to go through all this now. We have a paper that's been submitted for publication about this, and hopefully we'll know soon about this. But anyway, it was a pair of readings. In this set of readings, the evidence was amazing about the evidence in favor of the fact that Harry Houdini was actually here. But, of course, a mediumship reading, even if it's done under triple-blind conditions, you're still going to question it. You're going to still wonder, well, is it really the mind of the experimenter? I mean, what's causing this? There are alternative paranormal explanations. That's where the technology comes in. Because when I started using, for example, these silicon photomultiplier systems, and we published our first paper on this a few months ago in a peer-reviewed scientific journal, if you read that paper, which is available at drgaryschwartz.com, and more importantly, it's in the book, The Sacred Promise, in a much more readable form. In the paper, it was really funny, I gave everybody initials. I didn't say who the alleged spirits were. But the editor found it hard to follow. So he said, can't you use names?
Use the names, yeah.
So what I did was I used the names without identifying them. So what I pointed out was that in the second, there were three sets of experiments. In the second experiment, one of the two spirits, alleged spirits, was, scientists always say a legend or a hypothesized or, you know, spirits. It was said Harry. Of course, they didn't know it was Harry Houdini. It was Harry. So if I said it was Harry Houdini, they probably would have rejected the paper. So I said it was Harry. And then in the third experiment, which was the proof of concept experiment about whether this could be used as a communication device, I chose Harry. You know why?
Okay.
Because he was so good. The data indicated that he had extraordinary capability, more than virtually any of the alleged spirits that we had tried and, you know, initially tested.
Well, you know, he was so obsessed with trying to find out if it existed, he's probably equally obsessed to let us know it does.
Yes, and also he was a perfectionist in life. He practiced his art over and over. He was a master of disguises, a master of getting escape artist. He had tremendous strength. And you know what I always say is that people who are bigger than life in this life are bigger than life in the next. In other words, your personality and qualities continue. As well. Of course, they can grow and change, but they also continue. So if anybody is going to come through in spades, we would hypothesize that it would be Harry Houdini.